This is Average Joe Finances Podcast, episode 64.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called the Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
First thing that I realized was, especially in the lower ranks of enlisted, you don't get paid that much. So the best way to do things is to as frugal as possible and don't spend as much and just save. And then, you know, have that bundle of money ready to invest whenever you find the right vehicle to deploy that money.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? So today's guest is Calvin Blankenship, and he's 22 years old in the United States Navy, like me, and he's an active duty corpsman, which is, for those of you that don't know what a corpsman is in the Navy, he's basically a medic, right? So he has had an entrepreneurial mindset since the age of 16, and he tried his hand in network marketing, and he ultimately came to the conclusion that his goals were to replace his military income with passive and active real estate income as fast as possible. So he's looking to do this in less than 3 years. After he crushes that, he plans to scale and create his very own syndication company. So Calvin, you've got some huge goals and aspirations. I'm really excited to talk about that with you today. Thanks for joining me.
Mike, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, right on. So, hey, the first thing I want to ask you is the same thing I ask everybody that comes on the show. And, you know, I shared a little bit about you, about your background, but I'd like to know a little bit more. And so my listeners, so if you could share a little bit about yourself, share your story, where did this all start for you?
So it all started when I was 16, had some good mentors, some good friends surrounding me. They got into network marketing or direct sales. I got involved with a direct sales company, tried my hand at that for a little bit. Didn't really work out for me. I saw that the business model was kind of tough to make passive income. And then I eventually found that real estate as a vehicle to create a life of financial freedom and consistent passive income was the best way for me to, you know, have financial and time freedom throughout my whole life. So ever since 16, I've set my eyes on that goal and I'm going to continue to do that until I achieve it.
Okay, right on. So tell me a little bit about why you decided to join the Navy. Like what made you go from, you know, you were 16 and you were trying your hand at this network marketing thing, realized it wasn't really what you were looking for, and then you joined the Navy. So what brought you to that decision?
Yeah, it's crazy you asked that. The real honest answer is my goal in life was to not necessarily for, you know, just complete financial freedom and time freedom, but if I was going to make millions of dollars, I felt like I should have earned that in some way. And the way that I've, in my eyes, the best way to earn that is to serve the country and be deserving of that lifestyle and freedom. So that's a big reason why I joined, was to justify having that nice lifestyle that I've always wanted and to say that I earned it.
Yeah, right on. So, you know, your big goal was to make sure that you were, you know, putting in that work and that effort yourself, that it wasn't, you know, you didn't want to make it look like it was handed to you. Right.
Right.
Either way, it seems like with your mindset and the way that you're trying to do things, you were going to earn it anyway, you know, the way you were going to get your, you know, get there. So choosing to join the military as a means to an end, you know, and also for your reasons for doing it, you know, you want to serve the country and everything. That's all admirable. And that's awesome, man. And I want to say thank you for that.
For sure.
Now you've been in for 4 years, right? I'm actually getting ready to hit my 19-year mark. And as we discussed before we started recording, we have the same Navy birthday. So coming up here, July 10th, by the time this episode airs, you know, that would have already passed, but I'm getting ready to hit my 19-year mark. You're hitting your 4 or 5-year mark.
4-year mark.
Awesome. Fantastic. So 4 years. And so throughout your time so far, the Navy has different opportunities, or just the military in general has different opportunities to, you know, save money and invest. They don't really advertise it too much. So is there anything that you've done since you've joined the Navy to try to start building your wealth?
Yes. The first thing that I realized was, especially in the lower ranks of enlisted, you don't get paid that much. So the best way to do things is to be as frugal as possible and don't spend as much and just save. And then, you know, have that bundle of money ready to invest whenever you find the right vehicle to deploy that money.
Okay, right on. Yeah. So save. So is that what you've been doing? You've been saving up right now. You're saving up, and you said to find that right vehicle. What is that vehicle that you're going to use to build your wealth?
Right now, that money that I've saved up, as other than using it for a primary residence, that lump sum of cash is what I want to use to get my foot in the door of commercial real estate and large multifamily deals, because I believe that's one of the fastest ways to create that massive passive income that everyone wants. It's just by as many doors as you can under one roof.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've listened to some of my previous episodes where I've had several multifamily syndicators on, including somebody with a similar name to you, even though you're not related, or you might be, not really sure, but I'm sure you've listened to the episode with Ramsey. You know, one of the things that we talk about, especially when it comes to like large multifamily properties, is just economy of scale, right? And how much quickly or more quickly you can scale up your net worth, your passive income, and all of that by forced appreciation and so many other things, right? You wanting to start off in, you know, large multifamily and commercial real estate is really awesome, because most people will start off with like some single family rentals. They'll have that for a couple of years, pay them down a little bit, sell them, take the equity from that or the profits from that, and then get into something like this. So you're trying to hit it big from the beginning, which is pretty awesome, man. And the other thing you said is part of what you're saving up for is also your primary, but do you really need that, or are you going to use a VA loan? What are you looking to do right now with your primary?
So in my market, current market, San Diego, it's really hard. Obviously, my goal would be to use the VA for zero down for up to a fourplex. However, out here in San Diego, fourplexes can range from, you know, 1 million to 1.3 million. So when you're looking at those kinds of loans, the problem that I've ran into is having 6 months reserves and closing costs. Hopefully, the goal is obviously not to pay anything down and get closing costs covered. But to qualify for those big loans, you still have to have that 6 months of reserve. So I got to have that money in my bank account just in case I need to use that as proof of funds.
That's a good reason to have it. You know, hopefully, I'm knocking on wood here that you can find something like that's ideal in San Diego. Get yourself a quadplex.
It's tough.
Yeah, yeah. Market's tough right now for everybody. So it's just one of those things that this too shall pass, but at the same time, you don't want to wait for opportunity to pass by either. So you're doing the right thing by continuing your search and until you find that right place. Now, you chose real estate as your vehicle for wealth building, and you gave some pretty good reasons why. I want to get a little more into the root cause of that, though. Is there a specific reason why real estate is the main vehicle you want to use? I know you said it's one of the quickest ways to build wealth, but what a lot of people don't realize is real estate is one of those get rich slowly things, right? Because you'll build up your passive income and you can build it up pretty quickly. But when it comes to like your net worth and everything else, it's not going to just jump to $1 million after you buy a couple properties. So what is it that you're looking to build right now?
I'm definitely in it for the long game. What I've found with real estate compared to any other type of investment is, once you get good at it and you have enough of it and you can put systems in place and delegate, it's very hands-off. Like at the beginning, yes, you're going to be working. It's going to be almost like another full-time job. But eventually, as you get experience and you have more units, you put systems into place, you can have passive income with multiple doors and you can be hands-off. You can have someone managing your properties and you're getting paid every month for someone else to manage your properties. And the better you get, the more hands-off you are and the less time it takes to manage your portfolio.
Fantastic answer. Love it. And for my listeners, the reason why I'm asking questions like this is I'm trying to get a little more detail, trying to squeeze a little bit out of Calvin here, because he is new to the game when it comes to searching for real estate. And he's just starting his journey, which is really awesome, because there's a lot of you out there listening, or you're getting ready to start your journey. This is a good way to see how to do it, how to put these systems in place and how to build it. So Calvin, I want to ask you, like, as you're looking for these different properties, you know, is there specific criteria that you have in mind for your primary residence right now? I know what you want to do is get a fourplex, right? Obviously, you want to live in one of the units and rent the other three out. And for those of you listening, that's called house hacking. What made you decide that house hacking is the right way to start this off?
Right. Just from, you know, reading books, listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos, it seems like taking advantage of that VA loan that everyone in the military has, the best way to either create cash flow and control an asset is to house hack. So you can get up to four units with a VA loan. Through the market research and everything, finding living in one and renting out the others is how you can get close to cash flow and control an asset that's appreciating. Hopefully most of it just seems like the best way to do things, instead of just having like a single family home and you're paying the PAH is just covering the mortgage and you're not getting paid to live there. So,
and for those of you listening that aren't military or haven't served in the military and don't qualify for a VA loan, this is, you can do something similar with an FHA loan by putting 3.5% down, which is significantly less than having to put 20 to 25% down, depending on your lender, right? Because usually buying a multifamily, especially if you're not going to live in it, you're normally going to have to put 25% down. So yeah, you're definitely going about this the right way, right? So you're going to essentially, once you find that right property, you're going to be able to live in it for free and maybe make a little bit of a profit on the side. Now, what's the plan? Do you plan to stay in that for 2 years and then possibly rent out the unit you're living in and go find another one? Like, how do you want to scale this up? Or is that going to be while you're there, you save up all your money and then go right into commercial real estate? What's the next step after the quadplex once you nail this thing down?
Right. So kind of two paths of thought on this. One, I have my primary residence with the VA. The goal for that side is to get out as fast as possible, right? Live there for a year and then get out and either find another VA property to refinance that into like a conventional loan or something, so I can free up that VA loan. On the other hand, I'm still going to be actively looking to do big commercial deals. I may not have the capital, but I can also bring time and market research and value to other people to get my foot in the door to those bigger deals. So I'm kind of be working two angles at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. That's definitely a great strategy. I hear, you know, a lot of people that do that when they're first starting off is to get your foot in the door, providing some type of service like, hey, I'm here to help you. You know, it's not about what can you give me? It's what can I do to help you, you know, as you're moving further along in your journey. All right. That's fantastic. So it sounds like you have a pretty good plan. But the thing is right now, getting to that first property, I'd like if you could just kind of walk me through where you're at right now in this process, because I know that particular market that you're in is really tough. And probably based off the stuff we talked about before we recorded, some people would probably just throw their hands up and say, this is impossible. I'm just going to rent and I'll right. try it again later. So tell me why you haven't stopped your search.
Right. So for all your listeners out there, I'm in San Diego. And to be honest, the way with the San Diego market is, duplexes, triplexes, and quadplexes rarely pencil out with how expensive they are right now. So I'm still analyzing deals. I'm still analyzing condos, like one bed, one bath, just because if I can find a cheap one, I can still cash flow on my BH technically, because for all of you that are in the military and you're getting BH, you get a certain amount of money per month. If I get a mortgage and it covers all my mortgage and expenses, I could still cash flow on that single family residence as long as all the expenses are under my BAH. As far as the multi-unit goes, you just have to keep looking. You have to read books, have a good realtor that knows the market, and figure out what kind of rents that you're going to command depending on the zip code and area. So some areas it's tougher than others, but you never know. If you keep looking, you could find a deal. As far as giving up and wanting to rent, like I feel you, like I've been looking for months now and I've analyzed hundreds of deals. I've been to countless home showings and put in offers, and just with the market being crazy right now, I'm getting beat out by, you know, at least 20,000 over asking. And you have to be patient. There's no reason to fall into the trap of being desperate and putting in, you know, 20,000 over asking, you know, waiving contingencies. It doesn't have to be like that. You just keep looking and eventually you'll find a deal and it'll all work out. But patience is the main thing.
Patience is a virtue. That is 100% fact. So, you know, you said something that I never really thought about. And you're saying that you're going to cash flow your BAH, right? By buying a condo that would be under your BAH. And that right. way you can pay for it with your BAH and still pocket some of it, maybe towards your next real estate investment, right?
Right.
And one of the things that I want to point out about that, that is so awesome. And what a lot of people like, you know, you don't really think about BAH as what it really is, right? And what I mean by that is I'm starting to confuse myself as I'm trying to explain it, but BAH, so for those of you not in the military, BAH is a tax-free allowance that is given to military personnel for housing. It's meant to supplement our income so we can afford to live in the areas where we're stationed at. With BAH being tax-free, if you buy a piece of real estate and you're paying for that with your BAH, you're paying for an asset that depreciates that you can claim on your taxes and get taxes back with something that you're not getting taxed on. And so actually, David Perret from Military to Millionaire actually explains it a lot better than I'm trying to right now. So go give him a listen sometime. But it's just another way to be able to pay for an asset and still be able to claim some of those taxes back, all while not paying any taxes on it at all. It's simply amazing. And if you're doing it with a VA loan, now you did this without putting any money down. So it's kind of a no-brainer. So for those of you in the military and you're not buying a place and you're continuing to rent, think about what you're doing with that money that you're using to rent. Are you just throwing it away? You're paying somebody else, you know, you're paying another landlord and you're becoming their passive cash flow when you can be getting it yourself, right? So right. I just wanted to touch on that a bit because I've never heard somebody describe, you know, paying for, you know, real estate with their BAH, but, you know, having their mortgage be less than their BAH and counting that as cash flow. I guess you kind of can, right? You can kind of count that as cash flow because now you've got, you know, this extra money.
Let's take a brief moment to hear from our show sponsors. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about Buzzsprout. The Average Joe Finances podcast recently switched over to Buzzsprout, and I got to say, I am super happy with the progress. Our podcast is now on every single major platform and reaching audiences that we couldn't reach before, which is just super awesome. So thank you to Buzzsprout for being such a great platform. But also I want to say, hey guys, if you sign up for Buzzsprout and you sign up for one of their paid plans using our link, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card. So go check them out. It's averagejoefinances.com/Buzzsprout. And we'll make sure the link is in the show notes below. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com. Let's get back to today's episode.
You're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Whether it's single or multifamily real estate, the stock market, or side hustles, we discuss it all. Strap in and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, so this is how I think about it. Like, so say you get $2,000 a month BH, right? Mm-hmm. I could easily go rent something for $1,500. And I could say, hey, I'm cash flowing $500 on my BH. But I could find a cheap condo that could have the same mortgage, but I could be owning and controlling the asset, paying down the mortgage, collecting the depreciation and collecting the appreciation when I sell. So for me, it's a no-brainer. Like, make the sacrifice, find something that's cheaper. There's no reason for me to live a lavish lifestyle right now with my goals. So find something cheap, find something that the mortgage and the expenses are less than BH, cash flow on it. And then you're controlling the asset instead of just renting and you don't have the asset.
Yeah, you can rent the place for $1,500, like you said, and pocket that other $500 and save that for later. You know, knowing most military folks, they'll take that $500 and turn it into a car payment, or the car payment will be more than that. So it's definitely a great way to look at it because now, like you said, you're able to claim that depreciation. As the property goes up in value, you're getting that appreciation. So when you turn around to go sell it, and as long as you've lived in it for 2 years, you're not going to be paying capital gains taxes on it. Being in the military, you only get to live in it for 2 years out of the last 10, I believe, right now, which is pretty amazing. So you obviously, you're goal-oriented, you know what it is that you want, and you are attacking it from a couple different angles. But the thing is, you're not changing your goal and you're not changing your mindset, even with how tough the market is right now. And you're probably getting a lot of no's. I know we talked about before. You've put in several offers, written several offers, and you've said you've already analyzed over 100 deals. that takes time, you know, but the thing is, you're going to put in the time and the effort. In the end, when you finally get what you're looking for, that benefit and what you actually get will be worth all that time and effort you put into it. I don't need to tell that to you. You already know that because that's the mindset you have. And it's good that you started with the mindset before you even joined the Navy like that. You said at 16, you already knew that you wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? It took me a long time after being in the military to realize, hey, when I retire, that's not going to be enough to live off of. I need to figure something else out. So a couple of years ago, that's when I started looking into real estate. And, you know, it's between that, you know, real estate, and there's so many different ways to get passive cash flow, right? And the thing is, once you build up these different passive cash flows, when you get out or retire, like there's a lot of folks that I know that are in the military that aren't even going to stay till retirement because they don't need to. They've Right. built up enough cash flow that they've completely replaced their income. And that's what you're trying to do yourself. And you've got a goal Yep. to do that in the next 3 years. And I think as long as you keep pressing the way you are, you're absolutely going to get there, which is awesome, man. With real estate being the vehicle that you chose, and I know I'm rambling here, but I want to try to touch onto a couple other things. Is there any other asset classes that you currently invest in? Are you in the stock market, crypto, or anything like that?
Yeah, I dabble in stocks and a little bit of crypto. Eventually, being an entrepreneur, I want to have multiple. The more streams of income you have, the more stable your income is. So I'm definitely into stocks. Research have like a growth stock portfolio and in a dividend yield portfolio, kind of researching crypto. I don't really understand it that well, so I don't invest that much. I just kind of, I'm in the learning the ropes of those things, but yeah, definitely try to diversify a little bit.
So I talked with a crypto guy not too long ago, and that episode will probably air in like 2 months, I think. And I'm actually interviewing another one this afternoon, a guy that's kind of heavy into crypto. So it'll be interesting because I'm trying to learn about that a little bit more myself, because when it comes to that, I really don't have a clue. And I don't want to, you know, put my money into something that I'm not too confident about. I want to be confident in what I'm putting it into. Now, sure, I can have some play money that I could speculate with and dabble with. And I do that mm-hmm. right now with a couple stocks. But what's really funny is I found the play money that I was using to invest. I wound up, as I was moving it around to the different stocks I was speculating on, somehow it all wound up back into stuff that I was comfortable with that had some decent returns, but was mm-hmm. also paying great dividend. Most of them are in REITs right now. So all right. it all circled full back towards real estate, which is kind of crazy. But I love REITs. I do. I love REITs yeah. when it comes to just the, at least the ones that I have that pay me monthly dividends that I drip reinvest right back into it. And it's just been awesome. And as a matter of fact, my little play portfolio now that for what it's turned into is still up 30%, even with that big dip that we had last week. I'm happy about it. And I'll just kind of let it keep playing out. But yeah, actually that money that I'm playing with right now is actually going to go towards like probably my next real estate investment, because as it builds and I'm just keeping it in there for now, I'll probably wind up selling it all and dumping it into a syndication here in the future. You're looking at having multiple vehicles, but real estate's going to 100% be your main one, right?
For sure. Yes.
Okay. So you have other asset classes that you invest in. So for anybody else that's looking to get started, just like another newbie, they're not sure what they want to do. Or actually, let me put you in this situation, right? Because you're probably debt-free right now. Now, what would you tell somebody that is getting ready to join the military, or they're getting ready to start their first job in a career field, but they've got some debt, they've got some credit card debt, maybe some student loans or something like that? What would you tell somebody in that situation that they're 18 years old, or let's say they're 22 years old, let's say they're your age, right? Because they went to college or whatever, and they accumulated some debt. Let's say in 4 years, they want to be in a situation like where you're at. What do you think they should do to get there?
So my personal advice and my take on this is, depending on your debt and your interest rates, if the interest rates are high and it's killing you, pay that down first, because the interest, you're just going to be paying more money out of your pocket than you should. So pay down the things with high interest rates, and the things with low interest rates, instead of paying, like say, you know, have a huge, huge tuition debt that you need to pay down, instead of paying that down and trying to be debt free, take that money and invest it and make it work for you and make it make more money so that you can pay the debt down faster. I think that's the best way to do it. Is some debt, like credit card debt with high interest rates, yes, pay that down first because it's crushing you. Mm-hmm. But the long-term debt you've already secured, like the student loans, save money and find a safe way to invest it that it will give you more returns. And eventually it'll exponentially grow, and then you'll pay down your debt a lot faster, especially with real estate. Invest in real estate, hold an asset that appreciates, and then eventually you can just pay off your loans a lot faster than just paying them payments.
Yeah, I like it. I was actually working with somebody that they had quite a bit in student loan debt, and they said, "Hey, I want to start investing. I don't know what to do at this point. I've got like this amount of student loan debt, but the interest is really low, and I've actually been able to defer a lot of it. I'm at the point where I've almost paid off all the rest of my debt. What should I do?" And I told them, I was like, "Hey, you know, you got to think about what's best for you, but you're at a point right now where if you can invest that money, now that you've paid off this other debt, if you can invest that money and it's making a return higher than what your interest rate is on this student loan debt, take whatever you're getting from that and just start dumping it into that student loan as you get these returns back." Because like you said, you put that money in, you make it work for you, right? You want to employ your dollars to work for you. So you definitely have a fantastic mindset when it comes to this. I think you're going to absolutely go out there and crush it, man. Is there anything else you want to add? Like any other tips or tricks that you think might benefit somebody?
Yeah, I would just, for all your listeners out there, know what your goals are and just know that you have to be patient and you're going to have to sacrifice. Like I know a lot of people in the military, they're, you know, kids, or they join and all of a sudden they have this paycheck that's coming every 2 weeks and they're like, "Wow, I have all this money. I'm just going to go blow it." But if you're really goal oriented and you really want something out of life and financial freedom, you have to realize that it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. You're going to have to be frugal. There's no reason to go out and live lavish now. The sooner that you make those sacrifices now, the more longevity of that life of freedom you'll have, and you'll bear the fruits of that labor a lot sooner than you would if you were to spend it now then try to get that freedom later.
Love it. You know, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, when I joined the Navy back, I was 17 when I joined the delayed entry program, and I was 18 when I went to boot camp. It was like right after I graduated high school, and I started getting these paychecks, and now, mind you, back in 2002, with paying for my GI Bill, because you had to pay for your GI Bill back then, the first 6 months you were in, with paying for my GI Bill, my paychecks, and I was an E1, my paychecks were like between $225 and $275 per paycheck. It was disgusting. To me, I was working at my minimum wage job before I joined the Navy. I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'm getting this consistent check. This isn't too bad." And then I made E2 and E3 and whatever, and like it went up a little bit. But what did I do? I went out and bought a new car. A lot of people do this. It's funny, because if I would have just held on to that money, and if I would have just stayed on the ship, I went and moved out in town with some buddies of mine. I was paying like $250 a month to rent a bedroom in their apartment. If I would have just stayed on the ship, saved that money, like this other guy that I met on the ship, and this is kind of what started me in the right direction. This guy was a second class. He was getting out of the Navy, but he had, I think, $100K in his account. And he was just, I was like, "Dude, what, how?" And he's like, "I still live on the ship. I still eat my three meals on the ship. And that's it." He's like, "I'm saving all this money." So I don't know what happened to him when he got out. I'm pretty sure he's out there crushing it at life right now. Probably a multimillionaire because of the way he did it. He simply did I think he was on a 6-year contract. He did his 6 years, got out, and is just killing it.
It's all about that delayed gratification.
Exactly. And I wish I would have learned about that sooner. And I really hope that sometime in the future, it's something that they implement. You know, they give you some type of financial training. I think I did something in A school. It was like a finance class, but it was really nothing. It was just, "Hey, put your money in TSP. And for the most part, keep it in the G fund," which was another thing I did for the first 13 years in the Navy. Kept all my stuff in the G fund, and it did absolutely nothing. So that's fantastic. So for those of you listening, listen to what Calvin's saying here, man. Like he's got the right mindset. Delayed gratification, as he just said, that is definitely something you want to do if you're looking to build your wealth in the future. Sometimes you just got to delay it a little bit. I got to tell you, I'm about to hit my 19-year mark in the Navy. I just bought my first new car for the first time in years. I've been buying used cars before that. I bought my wife a new car, but you know that's been paid off now for about 2.5 years. I haven't bought a new one since, except for my own, which I finally rewarded myself as I'm getting close to retiring, right? So delayed gratification is huge. And it got me to the point where I was able to buy this awesome house out here in Hawaii. And every single one of you out there listening can do exactly this. Look at the way Calvin's starting off. He is starting off on the right foot. And I guarantee you, if I have him on the show in like another year or two, it's going to be a different conversation. It's going to be about how he's just living off of, most of it is passive cash flow. I think the way he's going, he might hit his goal before 3 years. So Calvin, absolute pleasure talking with you today, man. Do you have any social media where people could follow you or a website that people could check your stuff out?
Right now, I'm just on Facebook. I'm just Calvin Blankenship. Find me on Facebook. Feel free to message me. I have people that just through the military that know that I'm investing. I have people reach out to me all the time and they want to learn how to invest and how to make their money work for them. So feel free to message me and I'll definitely take the time to message you or call you and put you in the right direction. So.
For sure. Actually, there's one more thing I want to discuss because this is something we talked about before we recorded. And there's a reason why you came on my podcast, right? And there's a reason why you're going on a bunch of other different podcasts. So if you could share that reason with our listeners, because I thought it was awesome. It's kind of one of the same things I'm doing. One of the reasons why I have a podcast myself, but tell me why you're hopping on these different podcasts to share what you're doing as a newbie.
Yeah. So the main reason and the drive behind getting on these podcasts and network is because I've for a long time listened to Bigger Pockets and YouTube videos and all these other podcasts. And I always hear these people on these shows asking the questions. I was like, wow, that I had that question. That's a great question. So I just want to be the voice for all the new people out there that are always listening, but never really take action or anything. I want to ask the questions that you're all thinking about. And I want to get the answers for them, for you, because I was in your shoes. You know, I was always listening to these podcasts, you know, and I would hear these people ask these questions and be like, wow, that's a great question. I want to be the voice for the new guys and get that advice for you. It's just starting out.
Yeah. And you're doing it. You know, I think a lot of the information you shared today can really help change someone's life, hopefully. So if there's one person out there that this message that you shared affects, then you're doing some awesome stuff. So Calvin, again, like I said, absolute pleasure having you on. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. And I look forward to networking with you in the future and watching you grow and watching your journey. I can't wait to see what you do, man.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you having me on and taking time out of your day to interview me.
For sure, man. Aloha.
All right. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.
The Average Joe Finances Podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Do not use this for any real estate or investment making decisions.